Hello and welcome to the Human Innovation Podcast, the podcast for innovative leaders. I am your host, Jens Heitland, and today my guest is Dr. Emphan Akpan. Dr. Emphan Akpan is the Assistant Professor of Accounting at Methodist University in Carolina. This is his third appearance on the podcast after episode number 92 and 194. In today's episode, we talk about ChatGTP. ChatGTP is an artificial intelligence chatbot, and we look into how it works, the impact of it at education, and more. Please welcome back to the show, Emphan Akpan. Hello, Emphan. Welcome back to the show. It's great to see you again.
Hey, it's great to be here, Jens. Thank you so much.
Looking forward. Today, we have a special topic for everyone. So we are looking into ChatGTP. But before we do this, let me picture what ChatGTP is and how the world got to ChatGTP. OpenAI is the company behind ChatGTP. And OpenAI is a research laboratory which has a non-profit arm and a for-profit arm. And their goal is to develop friendly AI, which is artificial intelligence for humanity. They have done a couple of awesome projects, one which is DALL-E, the deep learning digital image production. Then they have had the first GTP3, which is produce human-like text, OpenAI 5, which is playing video games. Then they released in November last year ChatGTP, which is a chatbot. They have an OpenAI Codex, which is text to programming code, and a lot of interesting things coming for sure in the future. So ChatGTP is a prototype which was launched November 30th, 2022. It's now out in the world for a couple of months only, and it's valued already $29 billion. So huge thing that's going on. And it feels a little bit like the first time AI really touches the mainstream on different usages than behind the scenes, so that we can use it in different ways. Emphan, I'm really looking forward to explore what ChatGTP means for education, for us as humanity, and so on. Let's go into the first topic. What is ChatGTP? Let's talk about the basic function of ChatGTP for those who have never heard about it.
It is a chat bot. You can access it through a website. So you go to OpenAI, you click on the link ChatGPT, and really you sign in and you can start asking it questions. It will give you answers. You can ask it to do different tasks. So you can ask it to write you memos, letters, content. It can even solve problems for you as well. And when problems, in my case, accounting problems, you can put accounting problems in there and it'll give you answers as well. So it's a very, very interesting tool.
Yeah. And I've used it for, I was just playing around with it over the last 3 months from day one. I think it was still a waiting list in the early days, and I got access after 2 days. I was playing around with it until today, and I'm still doing it. So I've used it, for those who are interested, I've used it building summaries of wider text, which I have produced. But because I'm not native English, my text is not perfect. So I've used it, hey, write this in a professional language style. And then it's writing it in a summary, which just sounds awesome. And then you can even write it in a humorous way, and then it's writing it in a humorous way. It's fascinating what's already possible with ChatGTP. And it's still a prototype. It's not a real version yet, because it is a limited of data set which can be reached with it.
They're charging me for it. I signed up for the plus version already.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I signed up for that prototype. And you're right. You can use translate different languages, or have it to write text in different languages for you as well. And I just thought about one thing you said about the valuation of $29 billion. I would argue that the company is worth more than that.
Yeah,
more than $29 billion.
It's already a couple of weeks ago. So it's just increasing.
Yeah, it's increasing. And you have to think about we were talking a little bit about this earlier, the execution. So the way that they've executed the rollout of this, to me, is just amazing. So November 30th, they open up the free website. I think it was 5 days, they got 1 million users.
Yeah.
Now they said active users. So I don't know what the, if that's DAO or daily active users, but they got 1 million users. And I know that Netflix took what, 3.5 years to get to 1 million users. Facebook took, I think, about 10 months to get to 1 million users. So from thinking of it from that standpoint, they've set a benchmark for anybody else who's going to come in the space.
Yeah.
And from November 30th until now, so we're in February, who knows how many users they actually have.
Huge.
And then, yeah, it's huge. And that's the benchmark. So now whoever comes out, they've got to think about, I've got to get to 1 million or 1 million plus in 5 days, or I'm still behind. So I think that's going to, that would create, they'd have to spend money potentially to do that, and as far as marketing. And then you had me thinking about that because I just signed up for the ChatGPT Plus. So they're $20, their paywall, their premium version. And I was thinking about the numbers from what I know. So they've got 1 million users in 5 days. And if we only count that 1 million users and they're able to convert optimistically 10%, so that's 100,000. 100,000 times the $20
per month. So
yeah, $20 a month. You've got the $24 million in a year already. So you can project that out. I don't know what their conversion rate is. And that's just based off of, can you imagine? That's based off of 5 days.
Yeah. it's most likely way higher.
Yeah, most likely. So that's why I say that valuation, just thinking about it. And you know what? Here's the other part of it. The what they call the earned media. So they've been getting, we're on your podcast talking about it. And people are posting it. People are talking about it on TikTok. And all of this word of mouth that they're getting is also fueling it. And with the Microsoft and the Teams. So that's value too. So whoever's coming in this space with something similar is going to have to spend and even if they have something, a magical product, they're still going to have to spend. They're going to have to outspend on awareness. So it's an interesting situation.
Yeah. And it's quite interesting what I've heard. And now it's, I think, public as well, that Microsoft was investing into it and they built a partnership early on, which means they're already looking into bringing it into the Microsoft ecosystem, where you can basically, I guess in the future, do that as part of using Outlook, as part of using Microsoft Word, Excel, whatever you do. If you just imagine that it's just built into these things, it's incredible what can happen.
You're absolutely right. They just announced they're going to roll out a premium version of Teams.
Yeah.
Powered by ChatGPT that will transcribe your Teams meetings for you. So you can go back and ask it, oh, hey, what did Jens say? Or what was said in this? Or you can translate it to another language. Or if, let's say, we talk about in our meeting about an appointment, it will write up an email and intuitively do things based off of the text in the meeting. So that's happening. I think it's $7 or $10 a month that they're going to roll that out. And when I saw that, I said, oh my goodness, because you have to think about we were talking about a lot of stuff before this, but you think about the marketplace.
Yeah.
You think about now, if you're using something like this, that now later on you can go back, ooh, I didn't remember what time that meeting was. Oh, I need to figure out, Jens asked me to do something. Now you can go back instantly and get it. That sets the standard. So now you're using, so either A, if you're at a company that's using this, you don't want to go back to using Zoom or something that doesn't have it, right?
No chance.
No chance. And plus, now you're more productive. Now you're able to get more done, right? And do more work in the same amount of time. So that adds value as far in the workplace. You learning that having that technology and using it brings value to you as an employee. So it's there's many different shifts and dynamics that are going on.
Yeah. And if we just go very practical, because but not everyone is into it yet. But I guess after this podcast episode is led at least two people more. But if we just take your example, so you are doing a basic department meeting, which is on Teams. You're recording the Teams meeting where you have discussions on what are our goals for the next couple of months? What are you doing? So normally what you have done in the old time, you have someone who is documenting it and writing basically a write-up of the meetings. These are the meeting notes and that's documented. These are the tasks as part of the meeting notes. And that needs to happen. And that's what we agreed inside of the meeting. This is done as we speak. So this is basically done through ChatGPT straight away. And then what you can have, like you said, is not just having the written text of it, it's all searchable. So you can type in, hey, what was exactly the date when we wanted to go out for dinner next summer? Then it comes back with the answer. Or you can most probably even program it to be able to do task management after that, directly integrating these things, if it's inside of the ecosystem of Microsoft, into the task manager of the person that has got the task. We just imagine this, how much steps you normally would do and how much losses you have and people not putting it into the task manager and not remembering or not reading the notes. It's so much more efficient.
Yes. So you see that productivity standpoint. I'll give an example of from an education standpoint. So if you think about online courses, and in many online courses, they have something called a discussion board, where there's a question that's being presented to the class online in what they call a learning management system. And then you have to write so many words and then do your initial post, let's say on a Wednesday. And then you have to respond to your classmates' post at least one or two times. And you have to have a certain amount of words to your initial post and to your replies. So what you can do right now and why educators were in such an uproar, you can, as a student, you can go to ChatGPT, which is free right now, and go copy your question from your discussion board in your class and put it in the little bar on ChatGPT, click enter, and it will answer that. And you can even tell it how many words you need exactly.
Yeah.
And it will answer that question for you. Then you copy and paste it and put it back into the class, into your class, and post it as your answer. And then take the replies from your classmates, and you can do the same. So that's the big concern that on the side of educators with the technology. But at the same time, it's a conundrum because, especially if you're a university educator, because you're preparing students to go into the work. And that, you know, these are tools that are going to be used in the workforce.
Yes, exactly.
So you got to prepare them to use it. But at the same time, you're saying, well, wait a minute, they can use this to really do most of their work. But at the same time, we want them to use it because we got to prepare them to compete. Then my other thing is, if I was a student, I'd be using this because now I can finish all of my work faster.
Exactly.
And go and do other things, you know. It might have taken me an hour to do those discussion board posts, but now it takes me maybe 7 minutes.
Yeah. This takes us a little back to our first podcast, episode number 92, where we talked as well of the changing landscape of education. And I think that's a key part of that. One of the things I believe, and if we look backwards, we have learned, and that has changed now already, but when I was in school in the 80s and 90s, it was like you need to learn and you need to just repeat what you have learned. It's not really connecting it to world perspectives, getting your own perspective and learning how to learn. It was just, okay, I will remember this for the exam and then I forget it the next day. So all of that is not needed anymore in a way because ChatGPT can give you the answer. But I think what we still need as humans is to evaluate the answers we get. So I have base knowledge of systems, base knowledge of understandings, maybe not the detailed knowledge of, hey, which day on Second World War this happens. It is more about, hey, what implications had the Second World War and how important was that in history for things? But I think that's a key valuable thing where education needs to relearn of how, what are the things we need to teach people. It's not about remembering specific dates. It's more the importance and the human aspects of that.
Yes, exactly. Understanding it. So I can give you an example. When this came out, I was asked to join a project. So it's 300 accounting professors getting together. So you can only imagine how this is working. We're led by a Dr. David Wood, who's at Brigham Young University. He's really quarterbacking and putting all this together. And the thing we're doing, we're taking our exams, so our accounting exams, assignments, putting that in ChatGPT and seeing if it can answer the questions. So I used one of my final exams for this research, and the exam has the students, they get some information, they have to prepare financial statements, they have to prepare a statement of retained earnings, an income statement, a balance sheet, and a statement of cash flows with the numbers that are given. So I put these, so now, we started this in January. So this is key. So you got to remember, ChatGPT was released November 30th. So it's the last day of November. So then you got December. And then all of this was being, the data and everything is being put together. I'll take that back. Put together December and in January. So it's through December through January. Now this, where I put in my data was in, I want to say January. ChatGPT. The math, so it would do the, it would put in the listing of accounts. So the formatting, it did a good job, but it could not do the, it do the math. It did, it failed the exam, unfortunately. So with that being said, yes, the students, so what I saw there at that time, so this is key, the dates are key. Yeah. So at that time I saw, okay, the students could use this because it's going to format and put everything in the right place, but the math is off. So they need to understand what the, how the numbers work and how to put it together to check it. So they could get done with this a lot faster. So they can do the final exam pretty quick if they understand, like you said, are able to evaluate. Now, what happened on January 30th? They updated ChatGPT and it's better with math. So I when I signed up for the plus version, I just took one of the problems from that exam that I used in the, for the final and for the research. I put that same problem in there, and within literally 30 seconds, it answered the, it created retained earnings, incomes. It answered the whole thing, and it answered it correctly. There, yes. And there was no, and what was interesting, there was no prompt. I didn't say answer this. I just copied and pasted the question.
Yeah,
and it just, it followed the question, what you're supposed to do, and in 30 seconds, it had it. Yeah, but so I think the key is, again, now you have students, they can just use the AI to do the work. But at the same time, I think it's important to understand it. So they still need to understand how it's put together. But again, going back to that efficiency, you're at the job, you had the, you're given this task, you can finish it in 30, it's done in 30 seconds, whereas it might take someone about 30 minutes to put thing, everything together and check through it. So this is where we are.
Yeah, the interesting part, and that, that plays to what you said with the dates, it's learning as often as people are putting things in. And what we have seen is that the demand of usage is so high that it was breaking down in between,
yeah.
I think specifically over the last couple of weeks. If you just think about that, as more we use it, as better it gets. That's how the algorithm works with AI. And we are using it since November. Imagine we think about a year, November this year. It's already that incredible in 3 months. If you now look forward, what's going to happen? It's huge. It's incredible what this tool can do, and or the algorithm. It's super powerful, which is as well a little bit daunting. In okay, what's how it can be dangerous in the wrong hands in the future.
How do you think it'd be dangerous in the future?
For me, it's more, depends, of course, on the data sources. But if you can research everything, like how to build an atomic bomb, which I think you can already on the internet today. But if you get more detailed instructions and everything, there are people who should not know how to do it, and they can. And I think that's just one of the examples, or how to overcome a state in a different way. So how do you can do things, and you will get answers that will work because of the data you can get. And that's just, if you think about terrorist attacks and these things, I'm pretty sure you could get so much information so that you could do things way easier than today, where you would need years to get all that information. So it really depends on what the machine is feeding and as well how it is then protecting. And that's, for me, the interesting part. If we look at OpenAI and the promise of OpenAI of building something that's good for humans. So, yeah, it's interesting where this will go over time. I'm super excited in a positive way. So I'm not seeing it negative.
I'm excited, too. And that's a valid point. And I think with the different, so that was a good point. When you think about these technologies, when you mention that, if you have to think about regulation or issues that may come up. One, when you thought about that, I thought about the metaverse. So there's issues in the metaverse, which, as far as I know, Altspace VR, which is Microsoft, again, they've addressed it as far as assault in the metaverse. So if you go into their platform, you can create a space bubble so other avatars can't get too close to you or come and touch you or move in too close. So you have your personal space. And these are things you think about, wait a minute, it's not me, but it's an avatar, but is it me? But then someone is getting too close. And then when you get inside, so if you go into these platforms and you're using it, it's spooky. Some of them are really, I don't mean that in a bad way, but eyes are blinking and you see these characters and you say, well, yeah, it might, someone getting too close may impact someone as well. Yeah. So those are issues. So with these technologies, those are things that you have to think about, how to regulate it and what ways to regulate it. Who should regulate it? Should it be the government? Should it be self-regulated? Who comes up with these things? Then the other thing that we're talking about, ChatGPT, but what about the other platforms? Because there's other ones, and there's going to be other ones. I think Google is meeting next week to talk about their search engine, and everyone's saying they're probably going to announce some sort of chatbot.
They have it already ready. Because I think it was more than a year back, if not even 2 years, where they, I don't know if you have seen the video where there was the phone call making a hairdresser appointment. That was totally done by AI. So it was working already at that time, which that was a specific use case, but I've heard that it is working. They just haven't released it because they said it's too dangerous for the world right now in the way they have done it. So I'm pretty sure they have something up their sleeves. Not sure if they're that far comparable to ChatGPT, but it will be an interesting one.
But yeah, you have to think about it. If they got a million active users in 5 days, so, and like I said, I was thinking about this. Imagine so this is what I was thinking about. They've got a million active users in 5 days. We don't know how many users they have, but now they've got a conversion base. They got me. Yeah. How did they get me? I signed up for the chat for the free version. So they sent me an email, said, hey, you can join in on the plus $20. I signed up. So just imagine if they start rolling out other features. For example, what I was thinking would be really great, some research colleagues of mine, we were working on a academic presentation and we said, hey, it would be really neat to have ChatGPT to write the abstract.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we get into a Zoom. So it's three of us. One of us on ChatGPT telling it to write according to these specifications, it writes it. Then we say change this and change that. Yeah. I said, what if they rolled out a share feature? So now, just like a Google Doc or something, You can have three or four people come in and you can work on something asking it questions. So all they have to do is roll these things out because they have the users. So I think we were saying earlier, whoever is going to move into that same space, it's like the clock is ticking because they're going to keep rolling out more and more products and growing more and more. And it's going to be, in my opinion, it won't be harder. It's going to cost more to get into that space. The longer you wait.
Yeah, if you just think about, okay, it's embedded into the Microsoft ecosystem, which a lot of companies use. So that's already given, if you think about that. And then Google is not part of that, but Google is building their own thing. So if these two companies, which are already some of the biggest companies on the planet and most successful, with as well the most data sets, I guess if we take data in general, Google is far ahead. If you look into what they know about search engines through this search everyone is using still. And on top of that, YouTube, which is also owned by Google. If you just think this and you feed the AI with all of that data and everything is searchable, it's massive.
It is, but you got to get people to use it.
No,
and
I
now
agree.
You've got OpenAI and the ChatGPT. They're giving it away for free. 1 million users in 5 days. Now they can, and I love what they did because the marketing, everybody thought it would be $45 a month, and then they released it for $20 a month.
Yeah, if you have enough users, that's okay.
Yeah,
I guess
you're right. It's okay. So you got the $20 a month, and now it's with Microsoft Teams, and who knows what else they're going to roll it out in. So now you got to start. How are you going to compete? You know, you got to spend money. Let me ask you this question, Jens. You said that they didn't want to release it because it's too dangerous. So then why do you think they want to release it now? It's no longer dangerous?
No, I think they will because they have the pressure. For me, it's more about the specific use case because right now ChatGPT is, a lot of users are just playing with it. They're like I do. I try to produce social media posts, which work fantastically. Sales letters, as an example. Hey, write this type and this style into an email sales letter. That's working perfectly. So I think these are all specific use cases. Then it's more about if someone comes up with a very interesting use case that is used. So just what Microsoft already said, they will include it into the Bing search engine, which is owned by Microsoft. That's a huge thing. But Bing is not used by everyone. Most people are still using Google for search, if we take worldwide. So if Google would build their AI engine into the same way, they can just saying, okay, we can do the same what ChatGPT is doing. You can do this from now on, like next week, inside of Google Chrome while you search.
I see it, but right now the OpenAI, the ChatGPT, they got the front end and the back end. So they got the front end with the Bing, so the search engine, the back end, they've got the Microsoft Cloud, they're using that.
Yeah.
I see that, but at the end of the day, we know ChatGPT, they've got the numbers. So they got the people on board, they got the people using. They need to convert or get people to start using it through Bing. So that one I see. The question is, how would Google integrate it into their, they've got to come up with something. And it's like they've got to get people either from Google to go to their product or how are they going to integrate?
That's why I'm saying they should integrate it straight away into the Google ecosystem, that it's not something extra. So you use Gmail, for example, it should be integrated. You Google search, it should be integrated so that it's natively part of what you do and you don't need to go somewhere else. And I think that's a competitive advantage they have because they have way more than, if we take total users of Google, it's still way more than what ChatGPT has. So that's their advantage right now.
But here's the cost. It's going to impact their ad revenue model.
Absolutely. I think that's the key part. How do they earn money?
Yeah, and you got to make money. So again, it's going to cost them a lot. And it's just interesting because they, like you said that, and I like you said pressure, because at the end, it's one of those, to in just assessing it, I don't know the ins and outs of Google or OpenAI, but just as you mentioned, you can see there's obviously some sort of pressure there. And you can see the more they're gaining that momentum, the greater that pressure is, because they know eventually, and this is what's great about technology, ChatGPT is not going to go backwards. They're going to keep going forwards and getting better and better. And they've already got another version. And if they keep rolling these, so think about it. They came out with it November 30th. So you say November 30th to December, and then January 30th, they did an update. Does that mean they're going to update it every month and roll out new and we don't know, but they're sending that signal that they're moving forward with it. They're integrating Mike. So they're scaling. They're looking to grow. So,
yeah. And if you then think from the totality, if they open, I'm even not sure. I think they have open APIs, which other products can use the data as well. One example, I'm cutting all my videos, everything podcast wise is cut through AI. So I'm using AI in cutting my podcasts, which is already phenomenally faster than I doing this, like manually.
Yeah.
And it's super duper. Just thinking about adding that on top of that, imagine.
Yeah, but you've already using it. It's a GPT-3 product?
Or no, OpenAI? It's a separate product. It's a different company.
Got it.
Called Descript. I can put the link into the show notes for everyone who is interested. It's phenomenal. It's really good.
Yeah, so this is how it's making things efficient.
Exactly.
It's making things very efficient. And like I said, I think OpenAI is going to, as far as execution and rollout, I think they're going to be in the books for,
they are
for what they're doing right now and the way that they're executing and growing so rapidly. And you're right, not everyone is using it in that at this point. Now, I was in a meeting and one of my colleagues was saying, I won't give the percentage, but we were talking about it in one of our meetings. And he was saying a large percentage of students are using it to write papers.
Yeah, that's cool. Though I have to say, correct me if I'm wrong, it's only in English right now, right? I have tried it in German. It didn't work.
Uh-huh. Okay. I thought you can use it to translate.
Yeah, maybe you can translate this to this language, but just having the normal chat version of it, I'm not sure if it works in different languages.
Gotcha.
But I'm not 100% sure. Maybe that has changed already since I tried it last time.
Gotcha. Oh, so as far as people using it for papers and things, so just in English.
That's why I was thinking. Because, and I'm saying that because if you take my ecosystem, my family and friends who are living still in Germany, they've never heard about it. So it's still early innovators. Now it's getting a bit more into the curve where it's like the early adapters are on it, but I guess it's not mainstream yet. So it's not on that curve where you say everyone knows about this, everyone has heard about it. Just the people who are interested in tech, who are interested in technology development, who are innovators like you and I, we know about it. We have heard about the first versions of it, but it's still not everyone you talk to has heard about it, at least not in the English-speaking world.
So there's the pressure, because eventually they're going to roll it out in other languages. And so there's the pressure to get in there. So you're absolutely right about that. This makes me think back to when I worked in finance. So I worked in finance and I had a client. He was from Greece. So he came to Chicago. He opened a Greek restaurant. And we were talking and he would talk about his restaurant. And he said, my restaurant from day one, it was successful. So I was just curious because we've got quite a few Greek restaurants, but this restaurant, he said it was more of a fast food. So you go in, you buy these, not really a sit down restaurant. You buy these, I guess you call it gyros, that was his main thing he was selling. So I was curious. I said, how was it successful from day one? And he said, I come from a small place in Greece. I didn't go to school, to any big schools or anything, but I know people and word of mouth. So he said what he did was on the first day he opened up, he gave away about $10,000 worth of food, of gyros. He gave it away. He said there was a line like outside of the restaurant, people coming to get food.
Yeah.
And he said every day at lunchtime, there was always a line until he sold the restaurant. And he said, after I didn't do any advertising, I didn't do anything else after that. I just gave away the food and that was it. And then I was able to sell it. And he sold that restaurant more than what he had heard other people had sold their restaurant because he always had people, always had a line. Everyone was talking about it. So when I see how they're doing this, how they're executing on this, I think about that restaurant, right? So if you were coming to a neighborhood and you want to buy a restaurant, a Greek restaurant or a restaurant, and you see this one and they got lines, you're watching it, and every day for a month, they've got lines and lines of people in there. And then you've got another one that opened maybe 3 months later, but they've got good food, but they don't have those lines. Yeah. No one's talking about it. You want to go into that one. So,
100%.
So this makes me think about that that conversation.
Yeah. Before we finish up, let's look into the future. So if we record an episode end of this year, end of 2023, where ChatGTP and the development of ChatGTP is 1 year old, where is it? What do you think? What impact do we see in the world? And maybe if you want, we can talk about the educational world where you work in and the implications of ChatGTP in that space.
Yeah, so I think we're going to see deeper penetration, so wider use. We're also going to, unfortunately, my thought is there may be a rift. So ultimately, there's going to be some sort of divide. And what I mean by that is it's going to get better and better, but there's going to be more paywalls. And I think you're going to see that there's going to be more and more paywalls. And depending on the price points might increase. So you'll see a rift where you may have some people who are able to afford these tools. And then you'll see people who are not able to afford them. And then what I think in a year from now, you'll see more, there may be more of a divergence where we'll start to see those who have all of these tools and the latest AI are going to be the most productive, going to be able to move the fastest, especially if they're able going to do more, serve their clients better, move faster versus those who are not. And then those who, because you mentioned early adopters, those who have not stepped into it or learned about it are going to be catching up. So I see that, but I see definitely there's going to be more and more penetration, more companies coming up in different spaces. So we talked about Cactus AI. So they're in the education space in different areas outside of GPT-3. There'll be other companies coming in there as well. And you're using one. So this the software you're using to edit. So you'll see more and more of that.
Yeah, agree. And I think it's also, if we look ahead, I'm even predicting, as sad as it will be, that some companies will not survive that because they're built on helping companies to be more efficient through, hey, we outsource this and we put the human hours into that for you. And this can be done like in 30 seconds, in 2 minutes, or in 6 minutes rather than in an hour. And it's done by a tool rather than a human. So I think that's what we might see as well, because some hours will not be needed anymore. So companies need to either find new ways for allocating these hours and other interesting ways, or worst case, they need to get rid of the people, and or they're, as a company, as a business model, if they're not innovating themselves, they're not needed anymore.
I agree. I think there's going to be a squeeze. So you're going to see these, if they're offshoring and they're having people to do tasks manually, I think those companies will start using AI to cost and have fewer people do it eventually, until the technology is going to get so good that, they'll say, okay, we can do this with AI here. We can buy the program and use it here. But yes, absolutely, there'll be that squeeze eventually. But I think in those, the offshoring, they'll use it and to cut. And because you made a good point, there's early adopters. So there's going to be a curve. So once more and more people start using, then I think things will shift in that other direction. So that's absolutely good point. That's a good prediction. Yeah.
Let's see where this will go. Amphon, was a pleasure to have you again on the podcast. I'm looking forward to record an episode end of the year on this topic again with the, and of course, we might have a couple of other episodes in between.
That'd be great. It'd be my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, thank you for all you do. This is an amazing platform.
Thank you very much for joining. It was really a pleasure to have you again, and looking forward to stay in contact as we do in WhatsApp and all the other tools. Thank you very much.